Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. In last week's podcast, I talked about the significance of Holy Week for Christians around the world. And during that podcast, I briefly just mentioned why we celebrate the resurrection and not Easter. And I had said, and I just in passing said, the reason why we celebrate the resurrection over Easter is the subject of another podcast. Well, you have got your wish. Here we are. I figured it would be appropriate this week for that to actually be the topic of this week's podcast, why Resurrection Sunday over Easter. And so as Christians around the world are focusing on the most holy and most important and most significant day and event of our faith in just a couple of days, that would be the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I thought it was fitting to address this matter in this week's podcast. And so even as I release today's podcast, we are observing what Christians around the world call Good Friday. And we talked a little bit about what that really means and why it's called Good Friday, even though we commemorate, right, the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what we do on Good Friday, of course, is we commemorate what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And Calvary is a Latin for bald head or skull, right? And so that's what it means. And also it's called Golgotha, which is Aramaic for skull. So nonetheless, right? So the mountain or the place, Calvary, Golgotha, it looks like a bald skull or a head. And so what Jesus did is he bore the sin, right, of all humanity. And I don't say sins because it's not an individual event. What Jesus bore is our sin nature, that propensity, that proclivity, how we come hardwired into the earth as infants, as newborns, that proclivity, that propensity for sin. And so Jesus bore the sin of all humanity, and he willingly laid down his life in our place. And so why is that important? Well, we must understand that just as God is a God of love, and he's a God of mercy, he's a God of compassion, he's a God of grace, God is also a God of justice. And justice demands death for the forgiveness of sin. I know you're saying, okay, Elder, show me where that is, right? Well, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it reads, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." So again, we cannot have remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And so we absolutely want to recognize what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And we thank God, our Savior, but we thank God that our Savior did not stay there. And I just have to take a side trail just for a moment, and I'm not throwing shade to anybody, but I was talking to my daughter, and she had mentioned to me that she was doing an interview with somebody, and they had this huge crucifix, and she just said she couldn't take her eyes off of it because there Jesus was on this cross. And I said, no, we got to get him off the cross. He's no longer on the cross. That's why we celebrate the resurrection. Just a side note. And so again, we thank God that our Savior is still not on the cross and that our Savior is still not in the grave. And because he was victorious over sin and death, and because we identify with him, his life, his death, his burial, but we also identify with his resurrection, then we too can live a victorious life in Christ. And so this is why we celebrate the resurrection and not Easter. And so I hear you. I hear you. For those of you who haven't heard me teach on this before, so you're saying, so Elder Tony, what's the problem with Easter? Well, let me give a little bit of historical background on Easter, right? And so in most countries in Europe, the name for what Americans call Easter is derived from the Jewish festival of Passover. In Hebrew, it's called Pesach or Pashak, right? Two different spellings, like Hanukkah and Hanukkah. They're pronounced the same, but two different spellings. So this is Pesach, right? And so In Greek, the feast is called Pascha, Pascha, Pascha. In Italian, it's called Pasqua. In Danish, it is called Pasque. And in French, it's called Pâques, Paques, right? And so, again, it's pertaining to the Passover. It's pertaining to that word Passover. So, Jesus was a Jew, and as such, he was in Jerusalem observing the Passover. And it's well known that during the Last Supper, that Jesus was partaking of the Seder meal. And it's this ritual meal of the Passover. And so he was celebrating that with his disciples. That is, in fact, the Last Supper. They were celebrating the Passover meal. And so it happened at sundown on Thursday evening. And so Jesus' last Seder meal or his last supper, at his last Seder meal, his last supper is when he was arrested, that he had after, I should say after his last supper is when he was arrested, when he had his trial, and then he had the execution. And all this occurred during the observance of the Passover. However, in the English-speaking countries and in Germany, Easter takes its name from a pagan goddess named Aster or Eostre, Eostre, or Ostre, or Yastra, right? So all the different names, but Astra or Yastra was the goddess of spring or renewal, and that's why her feast is attached to the vernal equinox. Vernal equinox, vernal meaning of or related to spring, and that's when the first day of spring is. It is the vernal equinox of or relating to or pertaining to spring. And it's when there's an equal amount of daylight hours and darkness. So it equals. And it happens, and this is the official end of winter, and then spring begins, right? And so, and FYI, the same thing happens in the fall. You have the autumnal equinox. You have the same amount of light and same amount of darkness when the official end of summer occurs. And so it happens twice a year, where it's equal amounts of light and darkness, having to do with the rotation, of course, of the earth and the revolutions around the sun. But in Germany, this festival is called Astern, and the goddess is called Ostara. And so many of the pagan customs associated with celebrating or the celebration of spring eventually became absorbed within Christianity as symbols of the resurrection of Jesus. What do I mean by that? Eggs. Eggs as a symbol of new life became a common people's explanation of the resurrection. And after the chill of winter months, and spring coming, nature was coming back to life again. So eggs, a sign of renewal. And then during the Middle Ages, around the 500 to 1500 time, which is considered the Middle Ages, people began decorating these eggs and eating them as a treat following Mass on Resurrection Sunday, after they had been fasting through the Lenten season. And so they did that. And then there was these rabbits and hares. Rabbits and hares are also, hares, Hares, are also associated with fertility, and the symbols were linked to the goddess Astra or Yastra, right? And so this is where we get the word estrus. Estrus, a recurring period of sexual reproductivity and fertility in female mammals, commonly referred to as being in heat or in estrus. And this is where we get the word estrogen, the female hormone that plays an important part in a role in normal sexual reproductivity and development in women, right? And so, again, that's where it came from. And then around the 18th century, and I know it's a lot of information, but just giving you history. So then somewhere around the 18th century, so around the 1700s, is the hare and the egg somehow got tied together, and we're not sure how that happened, but the folklore developed that the hares or the bunnies or the rabbits would hide these colored eggs, and that children would go and hunt for them. And that's what's known as our modern day Easter egg hunt, right? And so on the surface, this may seem cute and it may seem fun and it may seem, harmless. But I have to say that this is just one of the ways, and another way that the enemy tries to come in and deceive us from the spiritual perspective, right? On what ought to be the holiest day of the year for Christians, right? I know we talk about Christmas and all of that, but the holiest day and the purpose, the Apostle Paul says, if in fact the resurrection did not occur, then our faith is in vain. Everything that we believe. Everything that we stand on is in vain if we do not believe that Christ was resurrected. That was the purpose for which he was born. That was the purpose for which he died, was so that he could be resurrected again for us. And so it is the holiest day of the year for Christians. And what the enemy wants to do is the enemy wants to take our focus off of our resurrected Savior and instead direct our focus on having a nice outfit or having a nice Easter basket or having a chocolate bunny or doing an Easter egg hunt or coloring eggs. You get the picture that they want to take our focus off of what should be a high and holy day for believers around the world. And so that's from this spiritual perspective. But here's the problem that I also have with Easter. It's from a purely biological and scientific perspective. Rabbits do not lay eggs. Rabbits bear their young alive. And so again, now, Easter has become this major commercial holiday in the U.S. We have a multi-billion dollar industry around greeting cards and chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs and marshmallow chicks and Easter egg hunts and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The bulk of this million-dollar industry in English remains the name, or Easter remains the name by which the English and Germans and Americans refer to this festival of Jesus's resurrection. And here's the thing I want us to understand, family, and I'm not beating anybody over the head. I'm just trying to educate and why I use the word resurrection and why we should be telling people resurrection over Easter is that Satan knows that if we can get our focus on the fun and the cuteness and the self-indulgent aspects of Easter, then we won't focus on the major reason, on the major source, and the major hope of our faith. And that is no one other than our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so my family, my brothers and my sisters, I just challenge us to not sit idly by and let the holiest day of the year be hijacked by the world or by Satan. See, what God did for us on Calvary, is way too precious. It's way too valuable. It's way too important. It's way too significant to not be safeguarded by those of us who are called by the name of Jesus Christ. And so not only is what Jesus did to be protected and safeguarded by us, those who are called Christians, those who are called believers, right? So what also we are to do is we are to be proclaimers, and we are to proclaim and we are to celebrate what Jesus did right for us on Calvary, especially as we commemorate Good Friday and as we celebrate his resurrection. So again, I just want to make sure that is so important, and we don't want to lose sight of what God did for us through Jesus Christ during this season. That's what it means. And just in case if there is any doubt that there's proof of his resurrection, I wanted to read a couple of scriptures, right? So Mark chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, and the Bible says, "And entering the tomb, they being Mary Magdalene, and then Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they entered. So, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" And of course, we know when they looked, he of course was not there. And so how do we benefit from this resurrection? That's answered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." Remember, my brothers and my sisters, that the penalty for sin is death. And so Jesus paid the penalty in full, and no longer do we have to sacrifice rams and bulls and goats and doves. And it's not about how we look or any of that. Our salvation comes in accepting the finished work of Christ on Calvary. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Man, oh, man, if that doesn't make you shout and smile. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior because God has promised us an inheritance that is imperishable, meaning that is eternal, is everlasting, it is enduring. It means it's undefiled, it means it's pure, it's clean, it's unpolluted, and it is unfading. That means it won't diminish, it won't wither with time. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection and not Easter. We celebrate the resurrection because we know that God has a reward, an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled and unfading, and is waiting for us in heaven. And so there is no one or no thing more worthy than the glory and the honor and the praise that we should be given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we celebrate His resurrection, right? And there's nobody other than Jesus the Christ. And so, my brothers and my sisters, I pray that as you commemorate our Lord and Savior on Good Friday, and then as we celebrate the victory over the grave, that we would have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Happy Resurrection Sunday, my brothers and my sisters. And remember, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.